This morning, let's open up our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. A word of prayer before we read. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for another day of life, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we're thankful that we do live in the United States, dear Heavenly Father. It's a privilege. It's a blessing, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we've mentioned many a times, I had no choice where to be born. Dear Lord, I had no choice as to what family to be born to. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that many people have been born in less than perfect circumstance. And the Heavenly Father, in different countries, dear Lord. But dear Lord, as we have been privileged to know different ones across this world, and Lord, they're in countries, the third world countries that we consider. And dear Lord, they're saved and they're sanctified and they're living for God. And they have a promise of heaven, dear Heavenly Father. And they're joyful, dear Lord. And the Heavenly Father, we're here in America, and we could have been, as I mentioned, born to many different circumstances as far as drugs and alcohol and abuse and all kind of things. And dear Lord, there have been people involved in those things. And dear Lord, you've saved them. You've delivered them from sin. You've helped them, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, but we're thankful that we do live in the United States of America in the freedom, dear Lord. And we want to give you praise and glory. Dear Heavenly Father, we believe that we're in the condition that we are today because the ones that have gone before us gave you acknowledgement, recognized God, put in God we trust on our money. Dear Lord, in the different places of the halls of our courts and things, dear Lord, we recognize God at one time in a great way, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, I believe you bless this nation for that, dear Lord. But dear Lord, we see a time where things have fallen away. But dear Lord, we as still as saved and sanctified and Church of God, dear Lord, and people of God, Lord, we want to still give you thanksgiving for all that you've done for us, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we are thankful for salvation most of all. Dear Lord, we are thankful for a country we're able to have. But dear Lord, we're thankful for salvation that one day you spoke to our heart, dear Lord. And regardless of what condition we may have been raised in, dear Heavenly Father, what country we may have been raised in, dear Lord, you're still God able to deliver and save men from sin, dear Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful that you saved us one day, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, dear Lord. Again, we're here for a purpose, to receive the Word of God. We're here for you to help us to grow and to encourage and put a greater vision towards heaven, dear Heavenly Father. We want to make heaven. And dear Lord, we believe it's a difficult time. We believe it's a challenging time. But dear Lord, the enemy's still true. As far as he's always been, dear Lord, he's still doing his very best to deceive and hinder and destroy the souls of men and ourselves, dear Lord. So, Lord, we're thankful that we have a God, we have a spirit of God, dear Lord, to help us to keep us free from the enemy of the soul, dear Lord. So, Lord, we ask you to be with each and every one here. You see some of the thoughts that we have here this morning. We ask you to anoint the word, anoint me, anoint the ears of the hearer. Lord, that you'll help us to receive and gain some ground, some higher ground, because of the Spirit of God. And we'll certainly thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, picking up in verse 14. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work." Ask the question this morning, are you saved? Not an amen nowhere. I know I can't hear. I know I'm not well here. Are you saved?
Amen.
Thank the God. Thank God you're saved.
Thank the Lord.
And what does that mean to be saved? And I have a question here. Are you saved? And the answer is yes, no, or I don't know. There are the only three answers.
And in a sense, that last one there, I don't know. In one sense, if someone were to tell me that, that would be encouraging to me. Because if one thing, if I spoke to someone that I knew their lifestyle and I knew they lived in the pits of sin, and I do know some people that are in that condition in the world there that I know people are like that, and they say, yes, I'm saved and ready for heaven. Let me tell you what, they're deceived. They're greatly deceived. Because when you think you're ready for heaven and you're living in sin, you're deceived there, and it's going to take a really, unless you're ignorant of things of that, it's going to take a blessing, a real revelation of God to help you to come out of that to get saved. But if someone were to say, I don't know, you know, there's some areas to work there. There's some areas of understanding that we can help you. And the Bible says to know that we're saved, to have a confidence that we can be saved. I'm trying to think of the verse, but I can't think of it. Make your calling and election sure that we know that things are right with God. But are we saved? And that thing of saying, yes, I'm saved, means something. Means, and I've mentioned it many, many, many times in preaching, that means at one time in your life, you felt the burden of God come upon your heart, conviction come, and you repented from sin. Lord, I've sinned against you. I've seen some things in my life that I've done wrong, and I've done some things. And by God, by the grace of God, I want to repent from those things. And from that time forward to this day, you've done your very best to endeavor to live free from sin by the help of God. That's what it means to be saved. And these verses here we're going to look at a little bit in verse 16. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I want to look at verse 16. We're going to look at several of these verses here. But verse 16, there's a word there. He says, all. All scriptures. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. Everything, I believe, God inspired. Now, I know I might mention this later in the message and all. I know there's some things we don't understand. There's some things that may be really complex within things. And some things I question sometimes. Lord, why did you even put that in there? Or what? Sometimes you go back in the Old Testament especially, and you read some things. You can read a chapter or two, and it has nothing to do with it. But we'll talk about this. I don't want to get too far ahead of my message. But sometimes I believe all things, God does all things for His purpose. I think we read to you on Wednesday night. All things. God made all things, created all things for His benefit, for His working. You know, sometimes in the Bible, even Jesus says sometimes, I do some things. He gave parables to confuse some people, to confound some people, to trip them up. Wise men, educated men, He confuses them because it's the simplicity of the gospel. All scripture is given by inspiration. In the original Greek text, it says, all scripture divinely inspired is indeed profitable. I thank God for that. Amen. All scripture divinely inspired is indeed profitable. If you apply, in other words, what he's saying, if you apply the word of God to your life, it's going to be profitable to you. It's going to be profitable. And you know, as Sister Deborah mentioned, some things, and we see that. We see things in the world, the way people act, and we don't have to associate. We don't have to retaliate. We don't have to go against those things. We can just, sometimes we have to step out of the way and allow people to be arrogant and sinful of some things. But all scripture divinely and inspired is indeed profitable. This is profitable to you. There again, I've heard people say, oh, I love the Lord. But I said to you about the song, He's my friend, He's my Lord, but is He your Savior? Oh, I love the Lord. What do you know about the Word of God? And I've told some of the saints here sometimes, different times I've talked to people, they don't even know the stories of the Bible. They don't even know the stories of Christ. They don't even know the stories of Christmas time. And I'm not being exaggerating one little bit. They don't even know the details of Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem and the crucifixion and the cross and the men that are on the cross. They don't even know those things, but they love the Lord. It's profitable to us. Mark 6 and 16 says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe the word of God? So I ask you a question, are you saved? And if yes, if that question is yes, then you believe the word of God. You believe the word of God from the very beginning. At one time God spoke to your heart. One time God put you under conviction. And let me add to this point there with that thought. The Bible lets us know, there again, everything we're going to quote is out of the word of God. The Bible lets us know that every single soul that lives upon the face of the earth will have an opportunity for salvation. That's what the Bible says. I can't comprehend that. I can't understand that. I see people in the depths of sin. I see people as a young people in the late teens and things die at a young age. And I may look at a little bit and at what time in their lives did God deal with them? I don't know. But God's just. And there's not going to be one soul stand before God at the judgment bar of God one day. And he's going to tell them, you remember the time that I dealt with you. You remember that time. And they'll remember. I'm trusting you're here this morning that somewhere in your life God's dealt with your soul. Somewhere in the time that God has talked to you, that God has witnessed to you that you need to be saved, that he has something good for you. I trust that somewhere through that time in your life God has. And if it hasn't, God says he will be faithful to do that. Are we saved? If you're saved, then you believe the inspired word of God. Many people get saved for different reasons. Some people get saved because of the word of God tells them they're going to go to a place called hell. A never-ending punishment. See, I can't comprehend that either. I can't comprehend how much God loves and things, but the Bible says that. That there will be people cast into a lake of fire that will not quench ever for all eternity. That's what the Bible says. But the world out there doesn't believe that. And the enemy doesn't want us to believe that or trust in that either. So somehow we got saved either through the concern of that we're going to face a hell one day, or through the love of God that just saved us, or there's many different avenues and reasons we got saved. As Brother Danny said, I love to hear the testimonies also. I love to hear how Jesus Christ saved you, how Jesus Christ talked to your heart, how Jesus Christ brought you out of sin and put your feet on the solid rock. I love to hear those testimonies. I don't know how many people were in this room this morning, but I'd imagine from every single one of us, many of us have some type of a little slighter different testimony of how God dealt with us, how God worked with us, how God introduced himself to us. He's a wonderful God. Only the word can tell us that we need to repent. I want to look at this morning the inspired word. The inspired word. The word inspired means to stir. You ever been inspired to do something? It gets you moving. It gets you considering. It stirs you to move you. To stir, to affect. Anything that ever inspired you, and it has affected you. It has got you to do something about it. To stir or to affect by a mental or spiritual influence. The inspired word of God, and I thank God, the inspired word of God has affected me. It's affected me. I love the word of God. I enjoy the word of God. I love the songs. These songs aren't here just because they're songs. And you know where these songs came from? Come on, help me. Where do these songs come from? The inspired word of God. These songs came through testimonies and relationships with God, the inspired word of God. These men and women that had written them songs were inspired by the things of God. There are many songs in our songbook that have been taken direct quotes out of the verses of the Bible. Little verses here, little verses here. And I love that. I love to see and read some of those things. They were inspired. The inspired word of God has affected me. And if you're saved this morning, it has affected you and it will continue to affect you. As I mentioned, this inspired word has affected me.
But follow what I'm going to say here. A preacher didn't affect me. Okay? Now God ordains men and women to preach the gospel and teach the gospel and Sunday school teachers and things. But it is the Spirit of God that deals with our soul. I can remember when I first sat here in this congregation and our first revival ever came to, and the minister that came for revival, and I can remember the very first night, and I think I've heard other people say this, the first two nights I remember vividly how God started to deal with me, let me know I need to be saved. I couldn't tell you one thought in the message today. I don't know if I could tell you that a year or two later. Not one thing, but the Spirit of God dealt with me through the preaching of the Word of God. But what was it? I don't know, but I know through the preaching of the Word of God at that time, God dealt with my soul. It affected me. Not the man, not the minister, not the preacher, not the pastor in some ways, but the Word of God. The Bible teaches us to preach the Word. He goes on down through there. Somewhat, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness. These things for that benefit. And that's what God tells me and tells every other minister. Preach this. I'm going to give you two verses of scriptures. I might go over there. I'm going to go over there probably just so I like. Sometimes I like you to see them and read them yourself. God didn't tell me to preach this plus. God didn't tell me to preach this plus something else that I like, or preach this minus something else. You know, the world out there, they like to take things that they enjoy and focus on them and leave the rest or add to some things. The Bible doesn't say to do that. I'm going to give you two real quick verses of scriptures here. Going back to Deuteronomy, if you want to follow along. I'm just going to read a couple if I can. I'm still got my old Bible. I left mine home still studying. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and verse 2, as Old Testament, New Testament, same wording so much. Deuteronomy 4 and 2 says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught of it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you." And you can go back to Revelation. Most of us probably remember this, or know this one more favorably. Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plague which are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the book, or from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of the life, out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." I know one thing God has impressed on me, and I know for myself, I will not add to or take away. There's a lot of things in the Word I don't understand. And God says, you just need to leave some things alone. But there are some things that are clear. And sadly, and thence, and I'm jumping ahead sometimes in my thoughts here, there are too many people, they'll take some of those things that are a little bit difficult to understand, a little bit deeper in thought, and that's what they will dwell on more than sometimes. I know the Bible says not to drink the sincere milk of the Word because it's for babes, but sometimes we need to enjoy the sincere milk of the Word of God. There's some meat. I thank God we can have some meat, but then there's some other things that are a little bit more deeper, but too many people want to dwell on those things instead of the good things of God. There's 66 books in the Bible. As I mentioned, I believe God's inspired each one. And as I mentioned, some people want to pick certain things out of the Word that affect them. I like this, I like that. I like these things. Well, I'm not going to look at that though. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that. I don't believe that, or I don't agree with that. Well, you're adding to and taking away. But out of the 66 books, when people look at certain things, what about the rest of the Word? Is the Word of God inspiring you from Genesis to Revelation? And look back where we are, looking back in verse 14 here. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. I don't know how long everyone in here has been saved, but have you learned some things? Yes. You've been saved for a year or so. Have you learned some things? Have you grown? This year was the first year, I mentioned this in camp meeting, or not camp meeting, in revival that I preached. This year is the first year I've started a garden by seed. I don't know, earlier in the winter, I thought about it. You know, I was in the store and I seen all the stuff they're starting to bring out seed. And I always wanted to, so I'm going to start things by seed this year. And instead of buying the trays that most of you know, I bought cardboard cups, I call them. And I bought the dirt and I planted the seeds and I put them all out I marked them all. And they grew, and when it came time to put them in the ground, one thing I forgot, I guess you were supposed to do it. I guess you do now. When you put those cardboard cups in the ground, you should cut them in half, or at least cut them, slice them down. Well, I just planted them in the ground. Planted them down, tilled the ground up real good, put them in the ground, and watered the things and all. They never grew for weeks. I kept going out there, and I'm like, and they're the same way as I put them in the ground. They haven't gone anywhere. And I was almost to the point, I got to pull them up, and I'll go buy some at the store and put them in. So I thought, well, I've got one choice. And I knew probably because the cups weren't allowing the roots to grow. So I soaked everything really well. I said, well, am I going to kill them, drown them, or whatever? So I soaked everything for like 3 or 4 days. I just kept soaking them right there. And that must have been enough water to dissolve them cups enough. And after that, they started growing. Well, you hear what I said? They weren't growing. They were dormant, so to speak. They weren't growing. I was ready to pull them up. I was ready to get rid of them because I didn't see any growth in them. I wanted some vegetables when the time's coming. If I don't make a decision now, I'm not going to have anything. I was ready to destroy them. But just like the story of the man that had the vineyard there, and the owner come by, he says, I don't see any fruit on this. I haven't seen it for years. He says, get rid of it. And the vineyard, the man that kept it, he's the husband. He said, let me take care of it. Let me dig about it. Let me fertilize it. Let me work with it. Give me a year, and if it doesn't grow again or doesn't produce anything, you take it out. And that's what happened. And finally, I worked with it some things, and it started to grow, and I got a real nice, strong garden. Everything come up. Well, God's the same way. This verse 14, but continue. We never get to a place where we're at the pinnacle of our salvation. I've learned all I can learn. I don't care if you were a Sunday school teacher, if you were a minister, if you were a pastor, whatever. There is always time to grow. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue in what you've learned. Continue in what God's taught you and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. Continue. But we also have to continue to learn. Have you been assured of some things? You know, people can be deceived. You and I can be deceived. I said to you at the very beginning, or a little bit of a while ago, and we preach many times, you should never, ever come to a service without the Word of God. You need to read right along with me. You need to study. And I've said this before, especially new converts from time to time. They need to take some notes, write down the scriptures, go home, study those verses of scriptures. It's just something good to do that and dig into them. Look at verse 14, 15, 16, and 17 and relate to other verses. Dig into them. Learn. And to know by the grace of God that He has taught you these things. In verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Have you learned anything? Have you learned that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And is there other things that you've learned or believed by the help of the Lord? Verse 16, my main thought here for this morning, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let's jump on into the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 1.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
When we realize and believe that this is the inspired word, that it's the word of God, God help you to show you some things. But in these verses, verse 3 there, for time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You ever tried to load something up on your phone or your computer and it says it's loading 20%, 30%, 40%, 60%, but it eventually gets to 100%. I don't know if we can say any other thing, but right now, verse 3, we're at 100%. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Our world, our country, the people of the United States, they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure the Word of God. And you want to know why? I mentioned this one time in preaching in camp meeting. You want to know why? Because the religious world has let down the standards and the teaching of the inspired Word of God. They're accepting everything and taking everything in. Everything's fine. Just allow us to all do whatever we want, be whatever we want, sin however we want. I'm not going to get into it too much, but this thing with Pride Month was an absolute disgrace to mankind. Not just the Word of God, not to the saints, to mankind. It's a disgrace. It's not of the things of God. And he says there, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. When we really accept the things of God, and that means you believe God has showed you some things, has helped you to ground some things. That's why I say sometimes when we read the Word, we need to study it ourselves, dig into ourselves. I think it's Timothy over there. I think it's Timothy that says, study to show yourself approved unto God, not approved unto me. You know, some people like to be impressed with other, or try to impress other people by telling them the Word, by teaching them the Word and things like that. Don't try to impress me. Don't try to impress Brother Danny. Impress God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Because when the enemy comes, and Jesus said that to the disciples one time, he goes, don't think in your mind, what am I going to say before they sit before the counselors? What are we going to say when people out there in the world mention to it? Don't try to think of that. If you're studying the Word and you know the Word of God, the Spirit of God will give you those things that you need to say. And you know what I've learned? Sometimes you don't have to say anything. There's a verse in the Bible that says, avoid foolish and unlearned questions. It does nothing but stir up strife. Sometimes there's some people, you just leave them alone. Because they're only trying to do is stir up an argument. But when we know the Word, when the Spirit of God has taught us the Word, just like he did with Simon when Jesus dealt with Simon Bar-Jonah, with Peter, and when Jesus asked the question, who do men say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood did not show this to you, but my Father in heaven. Through the preaching of the Word of God, you can hear it, you can read it, but the Spirit of God is what teaches us. The Spirit of God is what helps us to assure us with the things of God. Can you say that John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the world, God has witnessed it to you? Sadly, a lot of people may know John 3:16, may know that John 3:16, but have no idea what it says. Many people of the world can quote it. But there's also 2 Corinthians 5:17. One of Brother Bush's favorite verses he used to quote all the time, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are gone.
Amen.
They passed away. I used to do this and sin, and that and sin, and those things. And when Jesus Christ saved my soul, he took those things away, or he showed me through the Word of God, I need to leave some things off. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new to me by the Word of God. Diving into it, desiring to know it. See, everybody likes that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There isn't really any outside of the word, the thought, whosoever should believe. Well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Lord. But is he your Savior? Have you repented from sin? Have you been living free from sin? Is he your Savior? Is this word of God critical to you and inspiring to you? Do we believe the word of God? Do we believe the Bible? As I mentioned a little earlier, sometimes there are some things, absolutely, I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand in the Word. How many times, those of us have been saved for a while, how many times of us have read some things, and you know, different phases of our lives, different ages of our life, different trials or situations we go through in life, sometimes certain verses of Scripture just pop out at us because of what we're going through. We may read them and read them and read them and read them and read them. We just read them. But every once in a while, God will bring us to that verse, same verse of Scripture, but because we're going through that particular event in life, whatever it may be, it can associate with us there. And God can show us so and reveal some things to us. I thank God. What a blessing. I wasn't going to say every one of you, but I don't know. I ask you this question. Sometime in your living for the Lord, have you ever, I think we talked about it last Sunday, had a revelation from God? Reading the Word. I'm sitting at home. I'm just reading the Word. I'm reading it. And all of a sudden, God stops you at a verse of Scripture. And allows your mind to think about it. And blesses you with it. We read it there in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy there 3. He said there all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Some things are profitable to me. Some things are a blessing to me. Some things are an encouragement to me. Sometimes when I'm discouraged or whatever, and I read the Word of God, and it encourages me. Some things are profitable. Some things for doctrine. Some things for reproof. Sometimes God says, you've been doing something or you're lacking somewhere, and this is something you may read the Word of God, and it may show you something. Have you experienced those things at least once? If you haven't, you're not digging into the Word of God enough. Because God desires to show things to us, to reveal things to us. We can ask God for patience. We can ask God for grace. We can ask God for a deeper walk. But you know what? God's going to honor some of those things, but he says, you need to get in here. This is where you need to get into. I'm going to show you some things. A lot of things, like I said, we don't understand, but God can reveal certain things to us by the Spirit through the preaching. But as I said earlier, also many people want to spend more time on the things that are a little too deep. Well, I got questions. I got this question and that question. There's nothing wrong with questions. But some questions are not things we need to even worry about.
That's right.
I was trying to think of an example, a particular example. I didn't have any written down or thought of anything, but some people ask questions that we don't need to worry about. I'll give you an example. The Bible talks about when Jesus comes again. You do know Jesus is coming again. And the Bible lets us know Jesus is not coming to set up a place in this world. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. It doesn't come with observation. When Christ comes, the Word of God teaches us that when Christ comes again, time will cease.
And every single soul that has been born from Adam to the last one will be ushered to the kings, ushered to the judgment bar of God. Judgment will come. We will go to heaven or we go to hell. The Bible says this world will be destroyed. How many times have you heard people say, well, how is it going to happen? It says the dead shall rise in Christ and as lightning from north or west to the east, and this happened and that happened. I don't have any idea. I don't even know if we can even comprehend the understanding. I think we read to you Wednesday night. Paul said, I was called into the third heaven. I don't even know why. Paul was a very educated man, very spiritual man. I can't even explain to you what I've seen and what I heard. I can't even tell you. There's one thing you need to know. That when Jesus comes again, I need to be ready. That's all you need to know. Amen. But people will debate and talk about how's it going to happen. The dead's going to rise first from the land, the sea, and this and that. And that's going to happen. They're going to come. I don't know. I don't really care in a sense how those things. I need to make sure I'm ready today, right now. That's what I need to be. Yeah, you know, the disciples asked Jesus some questions sometimes, and he sort of diverted the question. Let's go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7 says, the first angel shall sound, and I'll just stop for just a second. As I mentioned, I was trying to think of an example, and people try to go through the seven angels and the seven trumpets and all those things and try to set all those things. I believe from time to time there's certain things out of Revelation we can glean from. We can just get some information, a little bit of help from. And ponder some things. But in verse 7, he says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the grass was burned up. Well, when we read that, when we're talking about the inspired Word of God, we're talking about the Word of God being precious and true and holy. When he talks about this in these particular verses of Scripture, hail. You know what hail is? Hail is frozen water. That's what hail is. And here lately, we've been getting a little bit of it. I thank the Lord. I tell you, I like weather. I don't like to see things be destroyed, but one thing I don't like is hail. And when they talk about hail coming, and they talk about sometimes softball or baseball-sized hail, you know, we're going to get a lot of damage with that. Thank God it's always just been little small stuff if we gotten any. But hail. Hail is frozen water. I don't understand all. Brother Walter can tell you a lot more. But hail rain changes from rain to water as it passes through a particular atmosphere. It changes. It makes a change. Well, hail in the Word of God is the Word of God that can be harsh. The people don't want it. And the Word, you know, it can be a blessing to our feet. It can be even, I wanted to make comment what I read to you back here, through correction. You know, God sometimes gives us correction through the Word of God. You know why he does that? Because he loves us. We live in a nation, in a world today. Don't spank your children. Don't correct your children. That's why we've got a nation like we do today, because children aren't being raised properly. The Bible says, correct the child, spare not the rod for his crying, correct him because you love him, not because you hate him. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about beating. There is a proper way to correct a child. And I'm not talking about every time. I don't know why I got off on this subject. I'm not talking about every time you have to spank a child. But there is a proper way to do that. Letting them run whatever they want to do without any correction is not God's way. Well, God does the same thing to us as children. He gives us some Word of God, but there comes a time that the Word of God is going to be hard on people. Repent. Peter preached at the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized. I don't need that. Let me tell you what, the Word of God is going to be a destruction to people sometimes. It's going to be hail. It's going to be fire. There's going to be trouble with people. One of the songs I mentioned many times, I sing it, and every time I sing it with
The thought of, Lord, help me. I love the song. Let the fire fall on me. Verse 1 says, Lord, I would be wholly thine. That's my desire. Lord, I want to be holy. I would do thy will divine. From the world and sin and self, I would be free. On the altar now I lie. With all my heart I cry, let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. I won't read all of them, but the chorus says, let the fire fall on me. Let the fire fall on me. The fire of Pentecost, consuming sin and dross. Let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. Have you ever been to a time, said Lord? Oh, you use the verse of scripture that David says too. David said, one time, search me, Lord, try me, find out if there's any wicked way in me. Have you ever prayed that way before? Lord, show me something in the Word of God. Lord, if there's somewhere, if I'm starting to deviate from the path, show me. Help me. Teach me. Bring me back. Let the fire of heaven, let the hail, the Word of God, sometimes it can be as gentle rain. Who was I talking to not too long ago? And we were just talking about the weather before we got a hold of rain. And I was talking to somebody and said, well, the grass has been growing a little bit, even though we haven't had any rain. But a month or so ago, I said, but we've had a lot of dew. I get up in the morning to go to work. My truck's covered with dew. I got to do the windshields, wipers and things. The ground's all wet. Everything's wet because of that dew. That easy, enjoyable water. Sometimes God says, I need to send the Spirit of God a little more harsh. Have we ever prayed that way, Lord? I want you to let the fire of heaven fall on me. Deal with me, Lord. You know, today is the day we need to find out things are well with our soul, not when we stand there before the throne of God. Are we picking and choosing the inspired Word of God? Are we picking things out of it? Have we changed the Word? Have we taken away some things? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Let's pick up in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. If you say you're saved, and I say I'm saved, Sister Melanie's from the Philippines, she says she's saved. Brother John comes in from California, he says he's saved. Wherever they come from, we should be line upon line, precept upon precept. It's the same gospel here in Maryland, in the Philippines, in Russia, in China, wherever it is. It's the same Word of God. Amen. No private interpretation. Knowing this, that no private prophecy of the Scripture is of a private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake there, were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Should be the same gospel. Should be the same teaching. The same Word of God. Peter says there's no private interpretation. And I thank God for that. You know, there have been a couple times, maybe in preaching, I've wanted to expand a little bit here or there on something, and it just wasn't comfortable for me. And maybe the Spirit, I did it this morning in studying my lesson. There was a part I was going to add to something or give you a little example. The Lord said, just leave that alone for now. And sometimes God said, but some people want to expand, say, I'm going to go outside the realm of God and I'm going to do what I want to do. There's no private interpretation. Thank God, God didn't show me something above anyone else. Verse 21, he says, this didn't come by man. As Jesus told Peter, he says, you didn't learn this by man. And even Paul made that comment in his teaching, in his testimony. He goes, I didn't learn this by man. I learned it by God. I learned it by the Spirit of God. By the holy men of God speaking those things that move the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16 says, the Lord said, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. I thank God for that. God says, I'm gonna put it here for you and here for you. I'm not just going to leave it on the books. I'm not just going to leave it here, but I'm gonna allow you to enjoy them. I'm gonna allow you to eat them up. I'm gonna allow you to take them in. I'm gonna allow them to be a blessing to your heart and to your mind, to your life. As we walk through life and the entire world is going a different direction. God says, that's wrong. This is a direction you need to take. And he writes it here. You know, how many times, and I'm not talking about dramatic things that we face today, how many times have some things came up in life to where maybe 10 people are looking at it this way, and you're like, why am I not looking at that way? I'll tell you why, because the Word of God tells us some things that's wrong, and you need to stay on the true path of God. Anytime we want to involve ourselves and there's a question, we need to study it and pray. Lord, direct me. I want to be the way you have me to be, Lord. Can you give someone the Word of God because God's Spirit has assured you it's true? Can you give somebody the Word of God, being encouraged with it? Give somebody the Word of God because the Spirit of God has helped you to see its truth. One more verse of Scripture. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9. He says, speak not in the ears of the fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. As I said earlier, sometimes God may say, just keep quiet. Don't speak in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words, the words of God. Sometimes we can give people the Word of God. Sometimes we can teach people. And I thank God for those, as I said in the very opening statement of my message here, are you saved? Yes, no, or I don't know. Those ones that may say, I don't really know, they can tell you that, and you can tell whether they're really sincere or not. And the Lord can help you and bless you. I don't know what was making me think about this week, and I was thinking about just different people and things, and I've told you this story before, but the first time I went to Grand Caymans for a convention, and Brother Frank and I traveled together, and we were staying with Eddie and Sarah at the time, and Eddie and Sarah had a house back behind the campground, and if you walk from their house, it was a very short walk to the ocean, I guess you would say. And every morning before camp meeting and things, or there was a period of time in the morning, I don't know what it was, because the streets weren't open, the places weren't open yet, and he and I would walk down there almost every morning, and we'd just sit on a bench and watch the water. You've been there, how beautiful and gorgeous the water and things is. We just sit there and meditate some things. And this one particular morning, we sat down there, and this young girl came. I don't think she was black necessarily. She may have been Jamaican or something like that. But a very beautiful skin, just clear. And we were talking to her, you know, Brother Frank, not we, Brother Frank, he just, you know how he was, he talked to anybody. And we started to talk to her about being saved. Well, I think she wanted to know why we're there, and that opened up a conversational door. And we talked to her. And she seemed to be very intrigued. I don't know how old she was. I don't know, maybe late teens or somewhere, early 20s at the earliest. But she was very intrigued, and there's a couple things that we talked to her and shared with her and things. And as we departed, even just the other day, I don't know why, I think, Lord, did that ever affect her? I'll never know. As I think I said sometimes not too long ago, we may never know who we affect until we make heaven our home. And say, you know, you talked to me one day, and you shared with me the things of God, and I accepted that and got saved. What a blessing that will be to us. But I was thinking about it, I thought, does it ever affect us? And saints, we don't have any idea how we may infect people by giving them the Word of God. Sometimes it could be small things, little things, whatever it can be. But we give them the Word of God. As Paul said one time, I plant it and someone else water it. But who gives the increase? God gives the increase. I may do a little bit of planting there. Somebody else may come by and water a little bit. But if they will be sincere in the things, they don't know if they're saved, they will be sincere. God can take and allow that to grow in their heart to where they can be saved. But some, he says, just leave alone. Just leave alone that we don't get in an argument. Are you encouraged by the inspired word? Do you enjoy the inspired word? Because that's what it is. It's not me necessarily speaking to you. It's the Spirit of God. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's turn to the page of 152.
God.